the Sussex County Council meeting of July 31st, 2012 to order. Approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, and good morning. We can amend executive session, striking job applicant qualifications and personnel, keeping pending litigation and land acquisition.
We'll entertain a motion to approve the amended agenda.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the copies of the minutes of July 24th. Any questions, changes, or concerns? Hearing none, they stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one letter today. Dear members of Sussex County Council, I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of Camp Barnes Board of Directors to thank you for your donation of $2,500 to Camp Barnes for the handicap ramp for swimming pool access. 100% of all donations go directly to the camp. Camp Barnes has been providing children in Delaware with a quality educational summer camp experience since it was first constructed at Miller's Creek on the Little Assawomon Bay in 1948. The camp and its services have expanded throughout its 64-year history in order to meet the needs of our growing population. Once again, I'd like to thank you for your generosity and support. And that is all, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've got a long administrator's report. Bear with me. Item number one, per the attached Delaware State Police activity report for June, there were 4,467 total traffic arrests and 1,460 criminal arrests. Of that, 437 were felony and 1,023 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours on duty spent, 43% were spent on criminal investigations. Item number two, Bob Stewart, Director of the Sussex County Emergency Medical Services, shared with Council the attached letters acknowledging and thanking his staff for their recent outstanding service. The letters were sent from, among others, the members of the Korean War Veterans Association, the Trap Pond Partners, and the Greenwood Volunteer Fire Company for the paramedics' presence during a recent funeral for one of their members. Congratulations to Bob and his staff for a job well done. This week, the county will mail its annual property tax bills to over 124,000 recipients. Citizens have a number of options to pay these bills, including through the use of the Internet with an online payment. Historically, the county has contracted with a third-party vendor who in turn charges a fee to customers who use this service. These fees can be as high as 2.5% of a citizen's total tax bill. It is possible that this fee, commonly referred to as a convenience fee, deters citizens from using the online payment solution. In fact, only 4.6% of payments were made online last year. In an effort to promote online payments effective tomorrow, August 1st, the county will remove the percentage surcharge and only charge a one-time flat fee of $1 per transaction. It is our hope that this simple flat fee will improve our customer service, enhance our efficiency, and increase the number of users who pay online. Citizens can find more information on the county's website and are encouraged to try our online payment option. Next, the Sussex County Association of Realtors will host their annual luncheon for the County Council today at 12:30 p.m. at the Sussex Pines Country Club. The Council will recess at the conclusion of today's regular meeting and reconvene for the luncheon at Sussex Pines. Finally, please note County Council will hold its regularly scheduled meeting next week, Tuesday, August 7th at 1 p.m. in County Chambers. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Phillips.
This new online payment process, will that afford the users the ability to pay with a credit card?
Yes.
Well, that's what it is, isn't it?
That's what it is.
They currently have the ability to pay with a credit card. Depending on the type of payment they use and the actual card they're using, certain cards charge more percentages than others. We thought that, one, that was confusing. Two, it was an inconvenience. So a flat, simple fee would allow them to go online, pay their payment online, just charge $1 instead of a percentage.
Typically, the person selling the service or good pays the Visa charge of 2% or whatever it is, and the customer does not. way we were doing, we had shifted that cost onto the customer?
That's my understanding, yes.
It has always been with the customer. We have never picked up or made it convenient for a user to use credit cards or online services at all. So with the shift of the ERP coming along and streamlining the website to make online easier, faster, better, this is just the start of that.
Okay, thank you.
More questions, council? Jim Hicken, review and approval airport policies. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Well, I'm back to talk to you about minimum standards, which I thought would never happen. What I'd like to do is take about 2 minutes just to remind you how we got here, what minimum standards are, why they're important, and then I'll bring Jeff Reed up, who's the chairman of the Airport Advisory Committee, to make their recommendation to you. As owners of the airport, you have the right to set the terms and conditions for the public's use of the airport, you know, just like any other property that you own. And those terms and conditions could be anything that you want them to be, except that you have an agreement with the FAA in exchange for their money, that those terms and conditions will be reasonable and not unjustly discriminatory. And by unjustly discriminatory just means that you'll treat similarly situated users of the airport in a similar manner, that you're just going to be consistent with those terms and conditions. And that agreement applies to any of the terms that you set for users of the airport, aeronautical users of the airport. And you've already addressed some of those terms and conditions when you adopted your rules and regulations policy a couple of years ago. But there's a special category of users at airports, and those are your commercial aeronautical activities or aviation businesses. And there's a name for those terms and conditions for aviation businesses, and that's minimum standards. So it's not a very confusing term. It's just the terms you impose on people that want to operate a business on your property. There is absolutely no requirement for you to have a written set of standards. You just have that requirement to be consistent in the terms that you impose on people. And you impose terms on people all the time out there. Having a written set of standards helps to ensure that consistency that you're obligated to do. Now, as the name implies, these are minimum standards. These are the bare minimum requirements that you're asking businesses to meet for operating a business on your property. And basically what you're telling them is, if you don't meet these minimum standards, you don't operate your business on the property. Because you're either not qualified, you're not safe to provide those services to the public, you're not adequately serving the public, you're not adequately protecting the county's interests, or you're unfairly competing with the other businesses that are out there. And those are kind of the benefits of a minimum standards policy. It ensures that there's a certain level of service provided to the public, it encourages business development, and it protects the public from unsafe service providers. And it also provides a level playing field for the businesses. I was here back in April of 2009 and asked you to rescind the policies that were in effect at that time and because they just weren't right for the airport. You did rescind those and directed the staff to develop a new set of policies. And we've kind of been working in that direction since then. But in that time, you've established the Airport Advisory Committee and chartered them to provide recommendations on airport policies. And they've been working on that, and I'll bring Jeff up, and he can provide their recommendations to you.
Morning, Mr. Reed.
Good morning, everyone. Appreciate the opportunity. First, we, as the chairman of the advisory committee, would like to thank you for creating the advisory committee. We feel that we've had a lot of input and came up with probably the best set that we could. At this time, the committee, as the chairman of the committee, and the committee has asked that you accept these minimum standards as written. There's probably nobody that's 100% happy with them, and there's probably nobody that's 100% upset. This is a compilation of the best that I think we could come up with as a group. And I'd like to thank the group that took a lot of time. We were 4 years in this process of coming up with these documents, and we want to thank the people that participated and everybody that was involved in the past and going forward in the future. And I think the committee certainly appreciates the opportunity to report and represent the county.
Any questions, Council, Mr. Reed? Mr. Cole.
The minimum standards. I was listening to Jim, and I mean, were they already? Did they exist somewhere, and we just adopted an existing, or did we take from some minimal standards that are drawn up somewhere, or did we plagiarize? Basically, what I'm saying from
existing
document.
Yes. Each airport, each user, each commercial entity has a little bit of difference in every airport.
Right.
So we looked at several minimum standards from the area and tried to adopt what was the best for everybody.
Okay, and it's not the case of this group that you're part of is like the foxes writing up the rules for the hen house. Somebody wouldn't read this and say, because I haven't reviewed it all that closely, and I'm not sure if I understand what I'm reviewing anyway, because I'm not that familiar with the airport operations. I'm familiar with the airport, but not the operations, let's say. So, I mean, it's not...
I'm sure you may have some constituents that call and say this is the fox, watching the hen house a little bit. But again, because of the advisory committee, we at least came up with what we thought was the best document for all involved.
Okay. And they can be modified when?
Yes.
How often do we...
I believe it's 18 months. We're required to look at it again.
Okay.
To make sure nothing's...
Was it...
36 months, and to make sure that that there's things in there that may need to be reduced or increased or modified as seen fit. So
for 3 years, we're going to be...
3 years, although the advisory committee could ask to revise it prior to that if there was a real issue that came that was unforeseen.
Mm-hmm. So there is wording ever that protects, say, the county here. If we get a lot of complaints for some reason, something's not working right, we can make changes without having the approval of somebody else. Can we arbitrarily make changes anytime we want?
I'm not sure that
we own the airport, and this is an advisory group, right. So they don't have any real authority out there other than their own advisory group.
As Mr. Hicken and Mr. Reed indicated, it was a long process to come up with this.
I understand.
Which also included the administrative staff from the county, as well as legal and the insurance advisors. Right. And changes can be made. Frankly, I would need to look again exactly how the changes are made, but there is a mechanism for changing.
Well, my understanding is we own the airport. These are our minimal standards.
Absolutely.
So we've created them.
Yes.
With the help of the advisory group. So can't we basically, we would have the ability to change them whenever we felt like it?
The simple answer is yes.
That's what I'm trying to find out. I don't want to make sure that.
Actually, George, we had the county administrator, Mr. Baker, and Mr. Todd came on.
Right.
Myself, and we had a county employee, Mr. Jim Hickey.
Right.
So it wasn't all volunteers. We had a lot of volunteers that came and spent a lot of hours, every Wednesday night, wasn't it? And for 3 years, almost 3 years.
Once a month.
We put a lot of time in this thing.
I didn't say you didn't. No, I'm just making sure that the controls are there, Sam.
We all had our questions. We all thought, and it's always thought it's the best interest of really not being overregulated. That's why we got the word minimum. I think it's maybe that word might...
I don't mind any of that. Many times at the airport, we've adopted something, and we've been tied into it. We've been locked in, and I just want to find out how are we locked into anything, because we own it. There are standards. We created them, so we can change them.
Yep.
That's all I want to know. And Todd says yes. So unless Jim says no, move on.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I want to know.
One question, Mr. Deaver?
I'm sure Jim is glad that this has finally gotten to that point, and I've been rooting for you guys out there. I wonder how you operate this part. I heard you say you won't one person will not unfairly compete against the others there. How do you regulate something like, or should you regulate something like that? What's unfair competition?
Yeah, where was that? Let's see, where was that?
I don't know how you do that. I'm just curious. Or do you want to?
And this is coming from a progressive Democrat who likes those companies.
I was in business for 25 years, George.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, Mr. Hickman, probably the best example, and Garrett, I think Garrett's here, would be something like fuel sales. I mean, he's got a lot of money invested in fuel tanks and trucks and employees that are there 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. To allow somebody to come in, you know, like on the weekends with a fuel truck and just sell fuel at a much discounted price, doesn't allow him to fairly compete, because he's got a lease, he's paying rent, insurance, and everything else. But that
would be something we would have to approve. Somebody would, right? Somebody just can't pull in there and start selling fuel.
Right, and that's the purpose of, one of the purposes of minimum standards. It's not just how many hours a day are you open, it's how do you apply for your approval? What are some of the reasons that you could disapprove somebody? What qualifications do you need to meet? So, as I said, you're protecting the public and, you know, providing that minimum level of service, because you have a stake in the service that's provided to the public at the airport, for the money you're spending every year.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. If a group of people came in and tried to promote doing some business out there, and part of their business plan would be that they would have some fuel sales, which would offer some competition, but it would be, say, part of another operation. Is that going to be unfair?
No, because they would have to meet the same minimum standards that Georgetown Air Services meets.
Right.
And then it's up to them to compete and, provide the best service, lowest price, best quality, et cetera. But at least there's that minimum level that you need to make sure that everybody's meeting.
Mm-hmm. More questions of council?
I guess.
Yeah. Also, for council's edification, the committee consists of tenants, pilots, services, as well as neighbors of the airport that are members of the committee that help generate these policies. So a wide spectrum of stakeholders helped in writing these.
Okay. You have a motion, Mr. Hickman?
Yes.
And furthermore, I recommend these.
With that note, I'm definitely
Thank
on
you, sir.
Board.
All right.
Anytime Sam Wilson gets behind something.
All right. Be it moved, based on the recommendation of the Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee, that the Sussex County Council adopts the Sussex County Airport Policies, Volume 4, Minimum Standards for Commercial Aeronautical Activity, as presented.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make it.
Same.
Go ahead.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. And Jeff, thank you and your committee for all the hard work. We appreciate that very much.
Thanks, sir, and we greatly appreciate the opportunity to be on the advisory committee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Susan Webb.
Today I'm going to cover the Delaware Transit Corporation funding budget for fiscal year 2013. DART, a division of DelDOT, has allocated $796,862, again, for funding of transportation expenses for the various senior centers in Sussex County. Mm-hmm. This amount has remained at the same level for a number of years. Our responsibility is to approve a recommendation funding level for fiscal 2013 as per state law. This is an allocation of state grant funds to the various senior agencies for transportation purposes. The recommending funding agent for each agency is the same as in previous years, as the grant is the same as in previous years. Mm-hmm. Nanticoke Senior Center, $44,959.30. Indian River Senior Center, $2,100. Laurel Senior Center, $99,082.94. Lewis Senior Center, $27,120.41. Cape Henlopen Senior Center, $43,065.65. And Cheer Inc., $580,533.70, totaling $796,862. In your packet, you received the request from each agency, and today I am recommending that we fund it at the same level in previous years for the 2013 budget.
Any questions, Mrs. Webb? Do you have a motion, ma'am?
Yes. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the allocation of state grant funds to various senior agencies within Sussex County at the same level as last year as presented.
Entertaining motion.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you,
ma'am. Bob Stewart? Paramedic Station 104/100 lease renewal correction/clarification.
That's the best one. I'd
like to start off by thanking County Mr. Todd Lawson for the acknowledgement for the kudos correspondence that we received within the last few months. And then I'm here to apologize for having to be here. I erred in a motion that I made 2 weeks ago at this council meeting and incorrectly identifying our landlord in a tenant lease arrangement. I'd like to clarify that with a new motion.
Okay.
May I?
If you start, you've been starting May.
That the Sussex County Council approved lease agreement between Colonial East LP and Sussex County, Delaware for the use of the building owned by them as described therein by Sussex County EMS as Paramedic Station 104/100 as per the terms and conditions of the lease.
Entertain that motion.
Sure, I'll make it.
Mrs. Deaver made the motion. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I apologize again for having to come before you again today.
You have a great day. Jewel Gibbons.
There's the right one.
Here she comes.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a few items. The first is two change orders for the airport wetland mitigation project, contract number 11-06, and these relate to maintenance of the wetland that is being constructed, the string line trimming and mowing to remove the Johnson grass, which is a state requirement, and the reflagging of shrubs which were planted. These total $8,224.58. That changes the contract price to $429,037.58.
You have a motion?
Yes, I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change orders numbers 1 and 2 for Sussex County Project number 11-06 Airport Wetland Mitigation Project be approved, which increases the contract amount by $8,224.58 for a new total of $429,037.58.
Entertain a motion.
Can I
want to get a motion first? So we can.
I'll make that
motion. Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips, question on the motion.
Just the reflagging of shrubs. What's that involve?
Basically, the mitigate the wetland area as planted has a number of different plant species which have been identified, and the plan was sent to the EPA for approval. So each of the plant species that was identified has to, there's a certain number of them, and we have to maintain that so that they have to be actually flagged so that we know that that number has actually been planted and we can tally the survival rates, which is also required by the EPA.
Okay.
Any more questions? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, ma'am.
These are three change orders for the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Expansion Phase 2A Contract 12-09. And these were design changes made by the engineering department subsequent to the award of the contract, with a view to enhancing the buildings for longer term use and longer term and more varied use. To this end, the following were added: concrete push walls, trench drain, a stone apron, and 600 feet of fencing. The total of these changes is $25,097, so that the new contract price is $245,060.
Do you have a motion?
I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change orders numbers 1, 2, and 3 for Sussex County Project 12-09 Inland-Based Regional Wastewater Facility Expansion Phase 2A pole buildings be approved, which increases the contract amount by $25,097 for a new total of $245,060, and that substantial completion be granted effective July 21st, 2012, and any held retainage be released in accordance with the contract documents.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Second. Oh, yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And next, ma'am.
The final item is also at the Inland Bays contract 12-11, and this is change order number 3. And change order number 3 actually decreases the contract amount as a result of the reduction in quantities used, and that reduction is in the amount of $19,302.16, so that the final contract price incorporating this reduction is $669,451.47.
That's a good one.
Entertaining motion.
So moved.
Yeah, second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
And what exactly was this for? What exactly was this for, that $600,000?
This is the spray rig expansion part of the Phase 2A project.
Okay.
Any more questions from council?
Nope.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And finally, I have a motion for a substantial completion.
Yes, ma'am.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that substantial completion be granted and any held retainage be released for Sussex County Project 12-11 Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Expansion Phase 2A, effective July 10, 2012.
Entertain a motion. Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Any question on the motion?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
This is going to finish us out at the Inland Bays?
This is going to finish the spray rig expansion project, which is contract 12-11. Okay. So this substantial completion is for that portion of the expansion.
For the $600,000
yes.
portion. Okay. There's the additional $12 million or so project out there. Are we close to bringing that to a close?
Yes, that was phase one, and that is in the final stages of completion, just punch list items that are being taken care of at this time.
And the substantial completion date was negotiated with the contractor, and that portion of the negotiations is complete?
That portion of the negotiation is ongoing.
All right.
More questions, Council? We'll take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank
you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, too.
Mr. Webb, grant request.
Okay, the first one today, Emmanuel House.
That was for a like a community day, isn't it?
Community day in
public health and police department, all that kind of stuff in there. Okay.
Public health, police, breast cancer coalition, LARED, Habitat for Humanity, Dell Tech for the seed program.
Okay. If someone would make a motion to grant $200 from my account.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips, grant $200 from my account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
City Next. Of Seaford Police Department.
That's for the night out.
Community night out.
Somebody make a motion to grant $500 from my account.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips, grant $500 from my account for City of Seaford Police Department for a night out. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
And Coverdale Crossroads Community Council. Mr. Wilson.
That's Mr. Wilson. Yeah, okay.
$500.
I have a motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500, Mr. Wilson's account, to the Coverdale Crossroads Community
Council.
Mm-hmm. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Mr. Phillips.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Moore, proposed zoning ordinance introduction.
Yes, Mr. President. The first is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district, a CR1 commercial residential district, a MR medium density residential district, and an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, a campground, and an outdoor amusement place where permitted as conditional uses to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 38.53 acres, more or less, tax map ID 1-34-9-21 and 24, and it is for District 4.
Yes, I'll introduce that.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
And the next one is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR medium density residential district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 5.00 acres, more or less, on two parcels, part of tax map ID 1-34-9-21/24, District 4.
Yes, I'll introduce that.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
And the last one is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR medium density residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.02 acres, more or less, part of tax map ID 1-34-9-21, and again, District 4.
I'll introduce it.
Cole introduces it.
Okay, and that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any additional business brought before council, Mr. Guy? Thank you, sir. Steve Cannon. I think Steve left. He was with the Airport Advisory Committee, I think. Linda McGinty. Yes, ma'am. Come to my. I'm sorry. Come to the microphone up here. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. My name is Linda McGinty, and I'm here as a member, a resident of Sussex County, and I'm here because I'm concerned over the loss of religious freedoms that this council has encountered recently. I haven't been paying attention to local politics, and I plan to change that in the future for fear of other rights and freedoms that we might lose. And I'm asking you to please keep prayer in the council and be vigilant of other losses that we might incur, the people of this county. Thank you very much. Thank
ma'am, we do you. Need your address, too, please. Could you state your address
for the record?
For the record.
17 Mulberry Street, Georgetown, Delaware, 19947.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer. You're talking about stupidity. Here's a woman asking for money from a church. She uses a 503 thing for her own purpose. And then she turns around, and you talk about book buying. In her letter, she states, oh, I'm going to put your name into advertising. Now, if that ain't book buying, I'd like to know what it is.
Make a motion to go to executive session.
I move.
Four up.
Do we have anybody else that may have?
No.
John, do you got anything to say?
Who?
If he's not written.
Okay. He may have not been familiar with the process, is what you're concerned about.
There's someone else out there, you said?
Evidently. No.
Okay.
You're shaking head, no.
Make a motion to go to executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So move.
Second.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips? Yes. Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We're going in there.
We're going to
executive session in the caucus room. Mm-hmm.